but I want to take a second and introduce John Pritikin to you. He has been with us before. John and I have been friends for a long, long time, and so he has had a big part in ministries all throughout my sort of ministry career, and I loved bringing him because he adds a humility and a humanity to the story of Christ. He is probably one of the largest people I know, and he has, I do like, one of the fun things I do that he hates that I do is when we go out to a restaurant, I infer to the waitress that he's an NFL player because sometimes we get free appetizers when I do that. I don't say it out loud. I just say, hey, you obviously know who the Raiders are, right? And she's like, yeah. And I said, so you've probably heard of John Pritikin. Oh, yeah. Is that who that is? I was like, yeah. He doesn't play for the Raiders. But anyway, John is a Guinness Book of World Record holder. And he can maybe tell you a little bit more about it. It's for rolling the most in the shortest amount of time, most frying pans, right? Is that what it was for specifically?
Tightest,
which is still it's as impressive, I guess, when you're rolling frying pans. I can do that. Tightest frying pan, which is pretty amazing. That happened in England, which was pretty cool, too. And the Guinness Book was there to record all of that. And very, very cool. It's given him an opportunity to go across the planet, literally across the planet, and speak to millions and millions of students as well as adults. And so I'm always honored when we have the opportunity to have him here. Because he always has something important to share. And in the context of where we're at as a nation, in a crisis with our students, when there is unprecedented amount of bullying, an unprecedented amount of students without good mental health, without good self-identity, without a lot of the things that you and I grew up with that seem to be vacant in their life right now, and we're seeing violent reactions and all kinds of just, we don't know how to react. And John brings a message of hope and brings a message of Christ's love. And it really is amazing to see the lives that he's impacted. And you're going to get to see just a little piece of that today. And he's going to share some of the amazing things that God's done in his own life and that God's doing through his ministry. And I want you guys to just give an amazingly warm welcome to my friend, John Pritikin.
It is an honor to be here at the summit. I got to start off with this. It's Pastor Chris's birthday today. And you're getting better with age, man. You are so awesome. And so it is such an honor to be here. I did not play professional sports. People ask me all the time when I travel. Happened to me this last week. Oh, New York. And I was doing schools there, and someone asked me if I was a football player. I said, no, I'm a model. I'm the before picture for Jenny Craig, you know? And so, so I am going to do some stuff like that. I'm going to do some roll up the frying pan. So I broke a 9-year-old record for the tightest roll frying pan. But what got my, I'm in the Guinness Book for is taking two frying pans, putting them inside each other for the tightest roll. And so I'm in the 2010 book, but my picture's in the 2009 book, page 12. And second paragraph. But I tell everybody that because I'm insecure, and that's why I have highlights. But I want to make sure this is real. Let me get a volunteer. I need someone to come up here and make sure it's real. Someone kind of crazy, full of energy. You're crazy? Okay, yeah, come up here. Yeah. You said I'm crazy? Okay, yeah, come right here. Hey, what's happening? Your name's Cole?
Yes.
You know how I know that?
Because my name tag.
Yeah, your name tag. That's right. Yeah. And Cole, what grade are you in?
Second.
You're in second grade. Okay, I want you to look at the frying pan. I'm not going to just give this to you. I was at a high school one time speaking. Someone grabbed the frying pan, hit themselves on the head. So I always hold on to it. But Cole, we just grab and feel it. Is it real?
Yes.
Yeah, you better say that. Okay, so you're going to give me a countdown from 10. When you say 0, I'll roll it up, break off the handle. But you got to get everyone fired up. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you fired up?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
Yeah.
You are. Thanks for lying at church. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Give me a countdown from 10. 10.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
for tomorrow. Give Cole a big hand. All right. I got a steel bar. I usually get three girls to help me out with this. Let's get, you got to be brave. I want to make sure. Okay, all the kids are down here. Okay, so let's get, the young lady right here in the blue shirt right there. Let's see, someone about your height. I'm trying to find someone. Yeah. Okay, let's get the girl right there in that blue. And one more girl. Let's see. Oh, you guys are, the girl with the red thing on your head. The flower. Yeah. Come on up here. Yeah, come up here on the stage. Give them all a big hand as they come up here. Hey. What's your name?
Autumn.
Autumn. What grade are you in, Autumn?
Third.
You're in third grade. Okay, Autumn, come stand right here. Right there. What's your name?
Madison.
Madison. Okay, Madison, come stand right here. Does anyone ever call you Maddie?
Yeah.
Do you like Maddie?
I don't really care.
You prefer Madison? Okay, we'll figure that out later. Okay. And what grade are you in, Madison?
Second.
You're in second. Okay, well, what's your name?
Jaslyn.
And Jaslyn, how old are you?
Six.
You're 6 years old? Are you married?
No.
I'm just trying to be funny. Okay, come stand right here. Jazz, come stand right here. I almost wore that same outfit. That would have been awkward. Okay, come stand right here. Okay, you two girls, grab on with both your hands. Yeah, both your hands. What's going to happen? You hold it like that and just turn your hands over? Yeah, perfect. What's going to happen in just a moment? I'm going to bend this bar in half, but the show, everyone's real. You ladies are going to hold on tight. I'm going to pick you guys up in the air and then spin you around. Okay? So just hold on tight. Don't let go. Okay? You're going to give me a countdown from like 10 to 0, okay? All right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you scared? You should be. Okay, so here we go. Give me a countdown from 10. 10.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gonna shoot me down, 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 now I'm bulletproof, because of you, because of you, and now I'm bulletproof, because of you.
Give those two girls a big hand. Awesome. All right, Jazz, you might have seen this done on ESPN Strongman Competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They'll put a steel bar behind their neck, and they bend the ends together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you watch that show?
No.
This is awkward. Yeah. Okay, you come stand right here. Give me a countdown from 10. When you say 0, I'll bend this bar, okay? You're going to go crazy, because I'm not going to bend it behind my neck. I want to bend it in my teeth, okay? Yeah, I'm a crazy white boy. Okay, so give me a countdown from 10. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're going to go, yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Am I good looking?
Yeah.
Okay, good job. You're so funny. This is my show. Okay, so here we go. Give me a countdown from 10. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I know you got the soul thing under control. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me.
She was so awesome. It is really an honor to be here today. What are you guys laughing at? Oh. Something on my face? Whoa, on my cheeks? My last time at the summit? Hey, I do have one last thing. I'm going to end with my time. I got a baseball bat that I'm going to break in half. It's a big league bat. And so I'm going to do it just 1 second. You can put your hands back down. I'll do this in just a moment. But I do want to say for all the young ones down here, everything I did is real. You never, ever, ever want to bend anything in your mouth. Don't do this at home, dads. And I just want to share with you real quick this morning. I won't be very long. There's a story in the Bible. It's in Mark chapter 4. You don't have to open it. I'm just going to share about it real quick. Jesus goes to the disciples and he goes, let's go to the other side. They get into a boat. He falls asleep. As they're going across the Sea of Galilee, a storm breaks out. They wake him up. He calms the storm. Now, what I like about this story, he says, let's go to the other side. He gave them a promise. A lot of times in life, we want explanations, but God doesn't always give explanations. He gives promises. I was on a TV show in Maine. It was the CBS News came out. Now, it wasn't like the national one. It was like the local Caribou affiliate. It was something bigger than it was. And after my television show I did that day, I went back to my hotel room to watch myself on TV because I'm insecure and vain. And I'm watching myself on TV, and I look terrible. They held the camera really low during my interview, and I had all these chins, you know. And I turn to my wife and go, you know, the camera adds like 10 pounds. She goes, how many cameras are on you? I love her. She's awesome. We're in counseling. But the reporter talked about promise. He said, by definition, a promise is two things. It's a pledge, and it also means potential. We're going to go through some tough times in life, but God says, I'll see you through it, because he sees the potential in your life. No matter what you face in life, no matter what this year has been like, he's been with you every step of the way, because he sees that potential. See, he gave them a promise, but something happened that day, and there was a problem, and that was the storm. It was big. It was rough. I go to Israel quite often. I go every 3 months. I've been doing that for 17 years now, going there doing school assemblies. And so I was just there last week. I flew from Israel to New York. And so where the way the Sea of Galilee sits, it's kind of like surrounded by mountains, and storms can come up very fast and very violent. And so the storm that day, I'm sure, was scary and it was real. But we all have problems in our life. It's a fact of life. You're going to have problems. One person says everybody has a problem, everybody is a problem, or everybody lives with a problem. We go through some tough times. And there's one thing I'm really good at in my life. It's not rolling out frying pans. It's not bending steel bars. It's not eating. It's making mistakes. I am constantly making mistakes. I'm always doing the wrong thing. I wear black a lot because it's slimming. Supposed to be. But I'm always spilling on myself. I was speaking at a conference a couple years ago in Hawaii, and there was 5,000 families at this event, and they had a girl, I always forget her name, but she got her arm bit off by a shark, and so she shared, and it was my turn to speak, and they're like, let's give a big hand to John. So I come up on the stage, and I missed the step. I didn't trip. I fell. And it was like this big convention center, and there was these big screens, bigger than this, on the stage, and I could see myself falling on these screens, you know. Hit the stage. 5,000 families. No one was laughing, except my wife and daughter. But the biggest mistake happened to me several years ago in a country called Venezuela. I was speaking at an event for students, 18,000 students, in a bullfighting arena. I'm with all these really famous Latin singers, and they have entourages of security. They have millions of followers on social media, and there's me at this event. I'm thinking, what in the world am I supposed to, why am I at this event? You know, like, it's at a bullfighting arena. Maybe they think I'm the bull. I mean, I have no idea, you know. So I'm backstage in, like, the green room before you go on the stage. They have, like, snacks and stuff. I'm backstage, and I have to use the restroom. I have no idea why I went like that. I'm so sorry. So inappropriate. So I'm backstage, and I have to use the restroom. So I walk into the restroom, and what I do, I see the doors open. So I walk over, and I close the door. And I walk to go use the restroom. I hear my name being announced on the stage. Let's give a big hand to John Pritikin. That's all in Spanish, but I know my name. I know that's what they're doing, and so I'm like, oh, man, I'm in the bathroom. So I run over to the door. I go to grab the handle of the door. There is no handle. I'm locked in the bathroom. There's these big concrete walls, a metal door. I'm start banging on the door. I'm yelling for help. But I didn't realize, with the band playing 18,000 people cheering, and they were shooting fireworks up in the air at the same time. They had this big introduction for me. No one can hear me banging on this metal door. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm looking at the door. I go, it's metal. Maybe I can bend it. I promise you, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. I do want to say the door wasn't very thick. It was really thin. And so I got my foot against the wall, and I put my hands on the top of the door, and I start bending the door down. And I start yelling for help. I'm like, help! Help! No one's coming. And I realize they don't speak English. They speak Spanish. I don't know many words in Spanish. And so now I'm standing there. I start to sweat. I'm cold. It's cold outside, but I'm sweating because I realize I have ruined my career in this country. And I'm standing there, and I have a memory from a long time ago. When my daughter was really little, every morning she would wake up. She would turn on the television. She would watch a cartoon. It taught Spanish to children. It's called Dora the Explorer. And when Dora was in trouble, she would say a word in Spanish. It was something like, ayúdame, like help me. I need some help. You know, I need a rescue pack, you know, swiper, no swiping, or something, you know. So I decided I'm going to scream this word out in Spanish. Now, if there's anyone here this morning who speaks Spanish, I apologize right now because I am going to butcher this word. So I put my face in the opening of this door that I've been open, and I start screaming this word out in Spanish. I'm all, ayúdame, ayúdame, ayúdame. For 10 minutes, I did that. Finally, someone heard me. They opened the door. I ran. I took the stage, and I had to tell 18,000 people I was locked in the bathroom. This is my point this morning as I wrap up my time with you is this. Just because I make a mistake, it doesn't mean I am a mistake. Just because I fail at something, it doesn't mean I'm a failure. As parents, as students, you're not going to do everything perfectly, but you got to hear me today. You're not mistakes, you're not failures. Just because you're going through a storm, just because there's problems in your life, it doesn't mean God's mad at you or he's angry with you or he's turned his back on you. It just means you're going through a storm. And I want to tell you that day, they try to do everything they can to survive that storm. And then they finally woke up Jesus and he calmed the storm. The provision was in the boat. But you know what's amazing? That boat was never going to sink, no matter how big those waves were, how strong that wind was, because Jesus is in the boat. No matter what you're going through this morning, listen to me. I feel this in the bottom of my heart. I don't know if this is God or Starbucks, but I feel this in my heart today, and that's this. You're going to go through some storms, but you got to let Jesus calm the storm in your life. One person said to me years ago, John, always let God be your first choice, not your last resort. I got to hold on to that. But we go through these storms. Things don't work out in our lives, and we wonder what's happening. But he wants to calm those storms. As Gavin comes and plays softly and I wrap up my time this morning, I do school assemblies. That's my passion. That's what I do. I did 400 of them last year all over the world. And I tell stories in schools. And there's a story I tell a lot in schools about a boy who went through a storm. It was a little boy. And everyone was mean to that boy only because of one reason. He looked normal. The little boy, he couldn't talk. He's in first grade. He's 6 years old. He's sitting in his desk, and a teacher walks into the class. She picks up that boy. She carries him down a hall, and she puts him in a room with other students who have special needs. I think because it happened in front of everybody in the class, word went out, and everybody was mean to that boy. No one would sit next to him at lunch. In fact, when that boy would eat his lunch, the other students, they would throw garbage at him. He would come home after school hoping things would be better, but his parents, they were always fighting, and they went through a nasty divorce. One day in third grade, he's sitting outside of school, and he's watching these boys play a game. They run back and forth like tag. He never got to play. He only got to watch, except for this one morning. 25 boys. They walked over to the boy sitting against the wall, and they asked him to play. The third grade boy, he doesn't stand to his feet. He jumped to his feet. He was so happy. In fact, when he tells the story, he says it was one of the best days in his life. So he's playing in this game. He's having so much fun. And then all of a sudden, this good day becomes a bad day. They didn't want to play in a game with them. They wanted to hurt them. And they chase the third grade boy all over the school. He runs down the hall. He's looking for help, but he doesn't see how a fifth grade boy, who's trying to be funny, broke ahead of the pack, and he stuck his leg out in the hall. Well, the third grade boy, I mean, he's running. He doesn't see the older boy's leg in the hall. He hits the leg. He trips. He falls. His face hits the ground, and blood goes everywhere. And all 25 boys, they don't help him up. They don't get a teacher. They don't give him a towel. They just start pointing and they start laughing at the boy who's on the ground bleeding. Well, the bell rang and everybody went to school except for the boy. He stood up. He's crying. His shirt soaked in blood. He goes to the hospital to get stitches in his face. Well, the next year, they decided to put that boy back into a typical classroom. Only one problem. The teacher he got, secretly, she didn't like him. And one day at the end of school, she dismissed all the students except for that boy. She walks over to his desk. She points at the boy and she says these words. She said, "You will never be able to read, write, or talk. You'll never graduate from high school or college. You're a throwaway." And that devastated. I'm going to stop real quick. I got to say this. I appreciate the way you're listening down here. It really touches my heart. But I know when we had this many people in a room like this, there's probably someone sitting here right now who have heard words a lot worse than that boy's heard. Several months ago, I was speaking at a school in Scotland. In the middle of my program, a 12-year-old boy stood up. He walked up to me on the stage as I'm speaking. He said that morning at breakfast, his parents sat him down and said, "We're getting a divorce." And they pointed at him and said, "It's your fault." And that 12-year-old boy, in front of the entire school, all his friends, he collapsed into my arms. He started crying, started yelling out loud in front of everybody. He goes, "John, I don't know what I did." To the adults that are here, sometimes the people who are supposed to love us and take care of us were the ones who hurt us the most. If that is anyone here today, I believe I have come to Summit to say this to you. From the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. Don't ever believe a lie when someone tells you you're not special, because you are. You're not an accident and you're not a mistake. Well, that boy, he went to a new school, 12 years old, 7th grade. His mom dropped him off. He got out of the car. He grabbed his bag. His mom grabbed his hand. She goes, "Sweetie, it'll be nice to you. It's a new school." The mom cried. She goes, "I promise." All morning, he doesn't talk to anyone. He's so afraid they're going to hear the way he mumbled. He goes out to lunch. He sits down, and this older girl stood up. She doesn't know him. She yells out loud. She goes, "Hey, what do you do? We don't want you to eat lunch with us. You're retarded. Go by yourself." And the whole school started laughing. But the boy, he didn't cry. He picked up his lunch. He walked through the crowd that's laughing at him. He sat underneath the tree. And when he was all alone, then he cried. But hear me today. Even though there was another storm in his life, he didn't give up. He became a young man. High school, he wanted to go to college. His grades were terrible. He applied to all these universities. They all said no, except for one. One school took him in on academic probation. He barely got to go to that school. He went to a man he admired, told the man his dreams. This guy he respects points at him and says, "You'll never be able to do that. I can't understand you right now. You barely made it through high school. A university, it's a lot harder. Don't even try." He goes, "I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be realistic." But it was like someone stabbed him in the heart because he trusted that man. I always tell older students, always be careful who you share your dreams with. So he goes to this university. He goes these big classes. He comes back to his room. He sits on his bed and he just cries because he feels so dumb on the inside. He wants to believe all the lies that people have told him. But listen to me. One last time, he reached down and he found the strength not to give up. His second year at that university, he hit the dean's list. He went to the top of his class. He went to his third and his fourth year. He walked across the stage. He graduated. The little boy that couldn't talk, who became a young man, he went on with his life. And today, that man is me. And I had surgery in my throat. I've gone through therapy to help me talk the way I talk today. I still stutter. I still have problems with reading and writing. So that's why I don't use notes or anything. So I apologize. There's not more scripture and stuff like that. But I can't give up. Have I made mistakes in my life? Yeah. But I'm not a mistake. Have I failed? Sure. But I'm not a failure. And people ask me all the time, what's the secret to your success? And quickly today, I got to say this. It's not being a book of records, and it wasn't a degree from a university. It was the day I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That day, I got up in heaven, saw a little Jewish boy that couldn't read, write, or talk. He loved me. He accepted me. I've gone through storms. But I know there's people here today, you've gone through storms too. And in that scripture I talked about, Mark chapter 4, if you go into the next chapter, Mark chapter 5, you see where they went onto the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a man named, he was all chained up, and he had all these demons in him. And they take the, Jesus takes the demons and he puts them in the pigs. That's where we get double ham. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't believe I just said that. But the pigs, they run off of the cliff. See, I believe when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, he wasn't looking at the storm. He didn't need the iPhone 10 to figure out that the storm was there. He's God. But he was looking beyond the storm. Why have I gone through storms in my life? It's because I've had a chance to share my story face-to-face to over 9 million students around the world and counting. There's been people waiting for me beyond my storm. There's someone waiting behind your storm. Maybe you woke up this morning going, what in the world am I going to do? Maybe you couldn't sleep last night or you woke up tossing and turning. Listen to me. There's someone beyond your storm. Jesus wants to calm your storm today. You're not alone. It gets better. Don't give up. Before I end my time tonight, I ask one quick favor. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want to say a prayer. Father, touch my friends. Be with them. Give them strength, hope, and peace. Hey, God, I just pray for the person who's just battling today, who's tired, who's overwhelmed, who's just frustrated. God, would you give them strength? And with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, maybe you're here today because your parents made you come, or maybe because someone invited you, or whatever the case may be. But if you would die today, you're saying, John, I don't know where I would go. But I want this Jesus we sung about. I want this Jesus that changed your life to change mine. If that's you, when I count to three, would you just put your hand up in the air and put it back down? Say, John, include me in that prayer. I like to ask Jesus to come into my heart. It might be one, it might be two, it might be more. But I got to give this opportunity this morning. Say, John, include me in that prayer before you break that bat. I like to ask Jesus to come into my heart. If that's you, when I count to three, would you put your hand up? One, two, three. Oh, I see all those hands. Thank you so much. You can put all your hands down. My second thing is you're here. You love God. I don't doubt that, but you're going through a storm. You're battling right now. And you just need God to calm your storm. If that's you, when I count to three, would you put your hand up? One, two, three. That's a lot of hands. You put your hands back down. For those who raise your hand to ask Jesus in your heart, say this prayer after me. And whatever I'll say to encourage those who are saying for a first time or a rededication, everybody go, dear Jesus, I love you and I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Today, I make you my God, my Savior, and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, I pray one more time for the people who are going through storms. Give them strength. The strength you gave to me as a little boy, you would give it to them in the mighty name of Yeshua. Oh, God, touch them. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to end my time. My daughter usually comes up and gives me a countdown when I break this bat. She is not here today, but the young man sitting right there in a striped shirt, you're in the chair right there. Yeah, second row. Yeah, come here, buddy. Yeah, yeah, come here. Yeah, right here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some stairs on this side. If you want to rock around, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I do want to say, as he comes up here, I do want to say to all the parents that are here today, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mom. Well, I guess literally. But she took me to doctors and speech therapists. And I just want to say, if there's anyone here today who has a child with a learning disability, speech impediment, ADD, ADHD, autism, if God can use me, he can use your kids. Don't give up. Don't give up. What's your name?
Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. I want to make sure, is that a real baseball bat?
Yes.
Hey, there's a reason why I picked you. I saw you sitting over there. Something hit my heart. I don't know. But you know, can I just say this? When I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends. But if we went to school together, I think you would have been my friend. You're pretty amazing. I know I came to speak to everyone today. Kind of feel my heart came for you, buddy. You need to know how awesome you are, okay? You guys, can we watch out? And remember, don't ever, ever give up. Give me a countdown from 10, okay? So here we go. 10, 9.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Give him a big hand. Summit Church, remember, you are special. I love you. Have a great day.